Great to have your company on Afternoon. Sam Edmund sitting in for Dwayne Russell today and for the rest of the week. Well, it's a great pleasure to have a chat to this man. He's the Melbourne captain, Melbourne star, and also, I think, without doubt, a real cycling enthusiast. He's got a big weekend coming up, the big fella, and he joins us this afternoon. Max Scorn, how you doing?
Hello, Samuel. I'm going very well. Yourself?
I'm going well. Are the nerves set in here? Because this is a big one for you. It's 172 kilometres through Victoria's high country, and you're raising some much-needed funds and awareness for Food Bank Victoria, which is a marvellous cause. But before we get to that, just physically, I know you're not scared of it taking on a challenge, that's obvious, but how are you feeling about this one?
You've already scared me because I thought it was 171, so that extra 1 kilometre might actually tip me over the edge, Sam. But about 3 or 4 years ago, I did one of the three peaks in Tasmania, which was 225. But that was a bit more leisurely pace, I think. I've got some pretty good riders riding tomorrow, and the idea on Saturday. And the idea is we stay in a group, so I might be letting them down at the back of the peloton.
So, what is this course that you're going on? I think Mount Buffalo is involved, isn't it?
Yeah, the 20 kilometre Mount Buffalo, which is relatively early in the ride, but the Stanley Hill, which I haven't heard too much about, but apparently that's the one I should watch out for, and that's 10 kilometres at the very end. I think that's got an average gradient of around 8%, and 8% isn't made for 110 kilos. I don't think.
I was about to ask you what you were tipping the scales at. Obviously, for the uninitiated, it takes a lot of power to manoeuvre a 110 kilogram human up a mountain on a bike. You've had a sea change. You've moved down to the Mornington Peninsula, haven't you? So have you been getting on the bike down there?
Yeah, I made a purchase down here late last year, and with everything that happened, and our football club moved down to Casey as well, which seemed like a no-brainer to actually just pack up and move down. So I came back from the hub, and I still had about a month and a half of Melbourne isolation, and the roads were empty, so it meant for a lot of riding, which was good. Went up that dreaded Arthur's Seat a few times, and yeah, I'm enjoying the change. And apparently Melbourne's going to stay down at Casey for a bit more of the future. So hopefully I'll stay down here for a little bit longer.
Fantastic. Well, you're taking part in the Hunger Ride on board your Giant, of course. Our friends at Giant here looking after you there. So you're guaranteed to finish and finish in a good time on board the Giant. And I mentioned the cause earlier. So Food Bank Victoria, which obviously aims to end poverty in Australia.
Yeah, it does. It's quite a surprising figure when you hear it the first time, but there's over 250,000 young Australians that are going without meals, and when you do hear that for the first time, especially in the privileged position that I'm in, your heart does sink. So there's a chance to get on a bike and ride a lot of kilometres to raise some much needed funds, and I think it's something like every dollar we raise is a meal for one young Australian. So I get that there's some COVID-19 stuff going on at the moment, and a lot of people are struggling, but there are some people worse off than us, and only $1 towards this cause can feed many young Australians.
Well, obviously your love of cycling's well known, so you've been spinning the legs over on the peninsula, but I wonder if the sea air down there, the water has been needed for Max Gorn's body at the end of 2020. I mean, honestly, Max, how banged up were you by the end of the season?
I only ended up playing 14 games. So when you complain about being banged up, you sort of look at how many games you played and you go, why am I banged up? But I did hurt my knee pretty significantly in the Adelaide game. But I was already playing under a little bit of duress with my shoulder. But that one set me back, and I was out of the team for 3 weeks. And then I came back a little bit prematurely. So the 5 weeks that was to go for the season, and we were aiming to play finals, I was under a fair bit of duress. But in saying that, I was able to get out of the park. So once that siren goes, there's no real duress that you can claim. So I put my hand up to play, and we got through. I think we won 2 or 3 of those games, but in the end, we lost those 2 games in Cairns, which cost our season. And I probably could have played a little bit better in those games. And my job now, I mean, you're saying the beautiful sea water down here, the ocean, is to get my knee right and make sure I'm ready to go for 2021.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that, or whether you needed to go back in to get a clean-up or two, or how that's sort of tracking for pre-season commencement.
Yeah, I went and saw Julian Fella. We did a Zoom call when I was up in Queensland, and I don't think he really got how bad the injury was from the Zoom call. So once I came in after the season, he was actually relatively gobsmacked that I was able to get through those five games. So he said no operation. The PCL is one of those ones that you can sort of just rest and hopefully it gets better and play through. And to be fair, I haven't really missed a beat in this off-season running program that Darren Burgess has got us on. So a little bit of rest early on in those first few weeks and the swelling's gone. And all things leading down to the next season.
Yeah, we obviously wouldn't be doing this 171-kilometre ride with a lot of elevation if it wasn't feeling good, I suppose. That's the obvious statement to make. But I'm not after you to provide excuses here, but you're obviously willing to play hurt. Many players are willing to do that. But of the 14 games, how many do you reckon you played where you were, 100% or close to 100% fit?
I like to think that the shortened season was going to suit me. Now the jury's out at the end of the year, and it probably didn't. But I really did enjoy those first nine games, and I enjoyed the 4 or 5 day breaks, and I was really getting a hang of the season that was. But unfortunately, a couple of impact injuries got me, so I would have been more disappointed if I tore a hamstring or something like that. That was more of a load issue, but it was 2 genuine impact issues. So I can't really put that on the 5 day breaks or the shortened recovery. But then once coming back with shortened breaks and shortened recovery, then it definitely did hurt me. So those people that were playing with injuries or setbacks or coming off relatively interrupted pre-seasons, I do feel for them, because it once I realised coming back from injury, it is definitely hard to get a bit of momentum with those short breaks. But I don't know if that's happening next year or not, but I definitely did love the challenge that was set out in 2020, and I've learned a lot of things, but the couple of impact injuries just got me in the end.
I wondered what you made of the rule changes, Max, for 2021. Obviously, rotation's probably the most significant one coming back, but I wondered if you thought the league had missed a trick perhaps by not scrapping the ruck nomination rule.
The ruck nomination rule doesn't really faze me, to be fair, and a lot of people think it's to protect ruckman, but to be fair, I did have 6 or 7 years there with third man up, and I can't remember someone jumping into me and seriously hurting me during that 6 or 7 years where I was able to play with third man up. So I think it, I'm not sure if it does free up the game or not, having a third man up jumper, because then you've got a lot more bodies in and around the contest. So that's a genuine tough one. It's in now, and it doesn't seem to be causing too much effect. So I would say leave it. I do lean towards the leaving the rules as it is side, but I understand it's got to change and rotations have changed, and that's probably bigger news for rucks than it is for anyone else, because I think we're going to stay on the ground for a little bit longer now.
Yeah. We're speaking to Max Gore, Melbourne captain, of course. Maxie, how did you view Braden Pruce's departure to GWS?
A lot of people questioning his overall decision to come to Melbourne, but from the position he was in, he wanted a change, and there was talk about us being able to potentially play 2 rucks, but the game evolved in that pre-season. I'm pretty sure West Coast won with 2 rucks in their team, and then Richmond then won the next few with only 1 ruck in their team, and it sort of evolved to probably not being able to play those 2 rucks. But Braden, he pushed me to my absolute limit. I pushed him to his limit, and he's ready. And that game against GWS, I know exactly what I'm going to come up for. And it's just a slow apprenticeship for him, really. He's got to 25 years of age now, and he's ready to go. I'm sure he would have wanted to knock out 100 games before he was 25, but he's ready to go now, and he'll probably be up there in the top echelon of rucks this next sort of 2 or 3 years.
Just a mountain of a man, isn't he? But as you say, he was sold the message of the dual ruck setup, and you were a big part of him coming across, but then you just went and hogged it all, Gorney. I mean, you were too good one out.
I think my time's going to come to an end soon, though, because Luke Jackson, I'm telling you, this kid is talented. So I'm pushing for him to be a wingman at the moment, or a midfielder or a forward rather than a ruck. But we've definitely got a super talented kid, which probably aids to the Prusy decision as well, where there's this 19-year-old kid that could be anything. I'm not going to, I mean, I've said that now, but I'm not going to put too much pressure on him. But he genuinely is a really, really good player. And those spots in the side the Prusy could potentially be able to get might be taken by Jacko this next sort of 2 or 3 years. So, I didn't let Braden play too much. And when he did, he actually held his own. He actually, in one of the games I was injured this year, I think it was Western Bulldogs, he got our trademark player and then was left out of the team for the next week. And that was one of the first times that happened. I felt bad personally that I was taking his spot. But, that's what comes with only one spot in the team for a ruck.
Yep. And Ben Brown comes across, obviously. He was the big recruit during the trade period, of course, to play deep forward. I imagine you spoke to him, you know, before, during and after. How significant is this acquisition for Melbourne?
Yeah, we had a Zoom call relatively early on as well, and he actually mentioned that he did a bit of ruck work. And I said, Ben, just calm down. You're a forward. But I'm really excited. And our midfield and defence have held up in a lot of the last few seasons. And our midfield can go to another level, but our defence has certainly held up in the last 2 years with Stephen May and Jake Lever and some guys down there. So the forward line was something that we targeted to be able to get an A-grade player in. And I definitely think Ben is that. He obviously had a down year this year, but I'm excited. I really am. I'm really excited to see him work with Sam Wiedemann, Luke Jackson, like I said, who's definitely a forward, and Tommy. We've obviously kept Tommy through the trade period, and I've trained with Tommy over these last few weeks, and he's looking as fit as he's ever been, and that's quite something, because he usually wins our 3K, so he's probably going to win it again and put some time on. So it's going to be exciting to see those four tools battle it out. I'm not sure if there's going to be three spots for them, or four, or two, or one. But, it's going to be good to get a guy who's kicked 250 goals in the last 4 years into our team.
Yeah, and Dom, off our temper text machine here while we're talking, Max, he suggested that you might have to develop a gluten-free vegan jaffle for Benny Brown to make him feel welcome.
Yeah, I've heard, I haven't asked him that question, but I've heard he does favour the vegan meals, which we've actually got a few people in and around the club that have gone down that path. And to be honest, without boring, I don't think it makes too much of a difference in terms of performance, but as a lifestyle choice, it certainly suits Ben, and there's multiple other players that do it. But yes, I will create a jaffle for Ben to make it easy for him to eat it.
I jest. Look, just while we're on personnel issues, a sad one development at your club, which you would be well across, obviously, but the club has just confirmed that Cade Colajasny's announced his retirement. We know the seemingly, sadly, never-ending battle he had with concussion. I mean, I'm not sure how much more you can say about that, but he's unfortunately, sadly, had to give it away.
Yeah, this is incredibly well-timed in terms of press release. I think it got released about 5 minutes ago and I jumped on the call. So I understand the club's been working with Cade for the last sort of 18 months through these concussions, and it's not something you wish upon anybody, to be honest. And he's battled it when he was at Gold Coast, and then he came to Melbourne for his first pre-season and lit up the track, to be honest, and played in that round two game nice and early on. And since then, he unfortunately has just got head knock after head knock, including one really, really graphic one that we had in a pre-season training session, which was one of his first sessions back as well. And it was just unfortunate, but shows the courage that he has to keep putting his head in where he probably shouldn't. And I'm glad that he's made the call as a friend. And personally, I think he's made the right call to give away football. But he will be missed. We obviously traded him in, and we saw a role for him. And unfortunately, hasn't been able to play that role for the last 2 seasons. But I wish him the best for whatever's next.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, isn't it? It's through no fault of his own, just a big talent that's going to be unfulfilled, but his whole life's ahead of him, of course, as you allude to. So he's got all that to look forward to. Max, before we let you go, I'm just curious, as the captain, how you view next year for your footy club. I mean, I know it's a long way away now, but, you know, 2018, the rise and a first finals appearance in 12 years, 2019, the pretty spectacular fall, and then 2020 almost a 50-50 year. I just wonder what the benchmark is for next season, where you see what you see as an acceptable result for your footy club, and how you view it going forward.
Oh, the overall goal from every football club is to become a great team that does it over a long jeopardy of time. And you have a look at Richmond at the moment. They're obviously the benchmark team, but not necessarily just because they won the 2020 flag, but it's because of their 4 or 5 years they've been able to put in the bank. And that's what we want to do. So when we do flash back to 2018 and see a prelim final, but nothing else either before it or after it, you almost see that little dynasty as a fail. And that's definitely the way I look at it. I want to become a great team that plays, it was October this year, but September football. And I do think we have the team right now that's ready for that. And I think I say that most years, but I do think we've got some genuine talent that's ready to go to the next step. So I'm excited for what we've got. We've obviously got A-grade full forward that's come into the team. We've got Stephen May and Jake Lever. Being able to play a few games together now and finally putting together a good string of games injury-free. And obviously Christian Petracca and Angus Brayshaw, Clayton Oliver and Jack Viney, those four midfielders alone could probably step into most midfields. So to have all four of them in our team makes my job very exciting as a ruckman. So a few things that we've got to make sure we gel, and a strong pre-season should be able to do that for us. But 2021 definitely is a year where we want to go further than what we did this year, and this year was not. So that puts us in the top eight, hopefully, and be there for more than just that 1 year that we had in 2018.
Well, we obviously wish you all the best for next year, Maxi, but first and foremost, we wish you the best luck for Saturday. I've just had a look at the route for the Hunger Ride, and I'm sorry to say it is, in fact, 172 kilometres, and the frightening figure, though, is 2,515 metres of elevation, and Mount Buffalo's in the mix, and you mentioned Mount Stanley. Well, they've described it, in a word, as punishing, so when you get yourself back to Beechworth, you well and truly have deserved that celebration dinner, and best of luck with that. I'll back you though, mate. You're getting through.
Thanks, mate. I just had a look at my Strava to see if I've done enough distance for this ride. And you said 2,500 metres of climbing. That is that eclipses all of my climbing over this last 2 months. So I am a little bit nervous. But if the guys just wait for me at the top of the hill, my weight should be able to get them down the hill and then hopefully hold on towards the back end. That's Stanley. I don't think there's another way to attack it. I think it's obviously a steep gradient, but it is apparently we finish on top at the Stanley Pub. So that's the added inspiration that I'll have getting up that hill.
Max, best of luck. And if you want to donate to Max Gorn's cause and the food bank, of course, for the Hunger Ride, just get yourself to thehungerride.com.au where you can contribute. Nearly $55,000 raised so far, which is fantastic. Max, great cause. Best of luck with it, and thanks for joining us.
Beautiful. Thanks, Sam. If you are wishing to donate as well, there's a link in my Instagram, and the leader of donations throughout the ride gets a green jersey, and I'm pretty interested because that could be the only jersey I get.
I love it. Good on you, Max Gorn. Well done. Best of luck for the weekend and the season beyond for the Melbourne Football Club there. Great to catch up with the Demons captain, Max Gorn. While we were speaking to Max, though, a glut of footy news has landed on our desks. So we'll go through all of that, much more on the other side of this. And in addition to that, of course, your calls. The lines are now back open. 1-300-736-736 or off the temper text as well. 0433 98 11 16.